Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown, Atlanta, Georgia, overlooking majestic Buckhead in the heart of the city that never sleeps, south of New York City. And we are in hopes that people are tuning in because we are going to have, once again, Robert McGee talk to us about the search for reality. And right now, I believe I hear Stacy on the other line. Is that you, Stacy?
I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you are. It's a beautiful day up here in Atlanta. We have had a spring that has been as cool as where I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, and people all over the country are wondering what has happened with global warming, since it's literally the coolest year we've had in recorded history, that being the case. Dr. McGee is not here quite yet, so let us just go ahead and tell everybody, while we're waiting, how they can take a look at our resources. Go ahead, Stacy.
Certainly. Our website is www.mcgeepublishing.com. That's M-C-G-E-E. And you can look at all of our materials there. And if anybody has questions, they can call me at 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to help them.
There you go. I see Robert has come on the line. Robert, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Last week, we had begun kind of talking about the concepts that we have addressed in the search for reality, which is a continuation of the search for significance that you wrote 25 years ago. Isn't that right?
Well, to understand reality, one of the pieces is understanding our identity, who we are. And I found in helping people and myself with the emotional problems that we face, that there was no greater issue than that. If you didn't get that one down, the rest of it didn't really matter. Today, what I'd like to do...
And likewise, if you don't get it down, nothing else is ever quite in sync.
No, it's the... You would suspect that God would make what he has done at salvation sort of the cornerstone of our life, and he did. And it's not just a add-on. It is the most important part of who we are. We talked a little bit about looking at who Satan was and what he was about and comparing that with some of our attitudes and then deal with sort of an interesting look at legalism from a very different point of view. Now, the background of Satan is interesting. The angels were not meant to procreate, although there's some evidence that some of the angels were created in a way that they could procreate with man, and a lot of theologians believe that was the cause for the flood. And that was the reason why we had the giant and some of the legends that come out of Greek mythology. So all that's sort of a peripheral issue. But we do know that the angels were individually created. And they each one of them were created for a specific purpose. And there appears to be at least three archangels. And these were created by God to provide a certain purpose. And one of these was Lucifer, who we know as Satan. And
we have Lucifer and Michael and Gabriel.
Right. And Lucifer was apparently placed in charge of creation. So we have to know that this archangel had been given a significant role in God's economy. And he had been made beautiful, according to Scripture. And it's very interesting. He got pretty much full of himself. And so in Isaiah, we find out, he says, I'm going to place my throne above all the stars in heaven. Now, some people think he was talking about making himself God. No, the stars in heaven are the angels. And he already was in charge of a third of the angels. So the first observation we have is that enough was not enough for him.
All.
Yeah, but there's no Jim in heaven, all right? He was who he was because God made him who he was, period, end of story. But even though God had given him this position, given and made him who he was, and he really had no room to brag, all right? Because he didn't do any of this stuff. He was given it, all right? He was not satisfied. Now, that is not unlike many of us. When we take a look at who we are, oftentimes we've achieved something, when in fact, God, if we have any good thing in our life, it's because God put it there in the story. And yet, instead of being thankful to God, pretty soon that which is old becomes old quickly. And so we get tired of thinking, well, I got that, but I've had that a long time. Was that a fire? Oh, okay.
I have no idea. Is that you, Stacey?
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
Put it on mute until the middle of time when we call you back.
Yeah, it is. I'm just
doing
my
job. All right,
go ahead, Robert. Okay, so the point being is if we take a look at our lives, there's nothing there that we should think is ours because of who we are, because God has given us all good things, right? And and yet we get a bit. Man's always looking for something to claim. So Satan was not satisfied, even though God provided for him. And so he's going to put his throne above all the stars in heaven, which means he wanted all the angels to report to him, not just the third. Right? So we know he was not content with what God gave him. And that is a very common feature.
So when we are dissatisfied with things and think that we want more and that we deserve more, which happens all the time to human beings, that's when we are thinking the thoughts of Satan and not the thoughts of Christ. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, that's just being human. Well, yeah, that's being satanic too, because that was Satan's characteristic. He was discontented, even though he had been put in that position. And then he focused on himself, which is also a common trait for us. We think we have been shorted.
If that isn't what our generation is, it's all about me.
Yeah, and in fact, we don't even think there was anybody that came before that provided anything for us. Satan believed he deserved more, and he concluded that God was not fair. Now, I can tell you that most people who struggle with their emotions don't think God is fair, and they dwell on that thought most of the time. And it leads them
I want to add something in here, Robert, as we're talking about God not being fair. for the people that we deal with that are recovering from religious abuse and from abuse of any kind, that is their primary problem, because they say, I didn't deserve this. That church did this to me. That preacher did that to me. You know, my husband did that to me. My wife did that to me. I didn't deserve it. I was doing what was right. And God, you let it happen. So I don't want anything to do with them. And I don't want anything to do with you ever again, because you're not there. There's never a day that goes by that I don't hear that one way or another.
Well, and most of the time they forgot what they were into, right? Most people who say God's not fair, yeah, he isn't fair. If he was fair, you'd be under the ground, not on top of it. And that's just a fact, right? And now you might say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But when you're dealing with God, God has a different standard. And God is actually, if you know him, he went to the trouble of seeking you out, protecting you, taking care of you, even loving you when you were mad at him, et cetera, et cetera. And so, no, God isn't fair. God is gracious to us. But it leads us to the final point, which is, it's in the book, we end up refusing to submit to the authority of God. Somehow we get our mind wrapped around and think that we forget who we're dealing with here, right? This is the same God who the billions of stars that are in the sky are in very specific orbits, and he maintains those orbits. In fact, Christ did. Even while dying on the cross, he held the universe in place by his very person. It's unfortunate, but we have so humanized God that we've lost track of how great he is and how grand he is. But that is who he is. And so,
you know, that's another thing that's particularly true in our society, as I'm thinking about it, Robert. It's people believe in the God of their understanding. By just saying the God of your understanding, that means that you bring him down to just what you can conceptualize.
And that's where search for significance comes in, to show us otherwise. It really does teach you who you are in the Lord. And you can see that book and read about it at our website, which is www.mcgeepublishing.com. And that's MCGEE. And our phone number is 800-460-4673. And I'll be glad to help you.
And let me say this about Stacy. Stacy has been working with this material for a very, 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 very long time. So, and she spends a lot of time on the phone with folks. So if you're wondering which one of these books would be appropriate for you, give her a call, because she is very familiar with it.
Oh, I mean, we have stuff for just about everything. I mean, there isn't, if it's got you knocked down, we've got something to help you pick back up, that's for sure. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah.
We were talking about, you know, about Satan's attitudes.
Well, so the issue is, people figure out a reason not to submit to the authority of God. And when they do so, Satan really does enjoy that one, because he recognizes that is what got himself in trouble. And you have to understand, Satan knows what his end game is. I mean, hell was not designed for man, although man's going to occupy parts of it. It was actually designed for Satan and the fallen angels. So anyhow, the idea is, when you take a look inside this book, you'll read about the characteristics of Satan. and realize that some of our characteristics, which we think are just human in nature, are really satanic, and they are very destructive for us. Now, with that in mind, I had sort of an experience, actually it was last night. I went to my grandson's recital, and he's in a little band in the eighth grade, I believe it is. And the people who were there, the parents, and this is sort of in a semi-yuppie little area of north, near DFW. And they had, some of the parents had taken out ads in this little program. And I started reading through them, and some of the parents did quite well because they said things that they were very excited about their child's activities, their behavior. And but some of them, way too many of them, phrased it like this: "I am so proud of you for what you have done." And I read that, and I looked at it, and I say, well, that's not very good. Because if I were a child and I said, my parent is proud of me because I have performed to a certain level, that would mean that I have had to earn my parents' appreciation. Now, I know not one of the parents meant to do that, but it is so common in how we interact with each other that we end up doing that, and that's the law. Right.
Well, Robert, parents all the time, that's what they expect kids to live up to their standards. That, I mean, they do believe that, a lot of them. They do believe that. Now, they may say less, you know, in our era because it's not cool to be that way, but de facto, that's exactly what they do.
Well, I wasn't so much concerned, they say, I really enjoyed your performance. That's fine. But if I say, I'm proud of you because of your performance, now we have entered into the law. But that's not my point. My point is much more subtle than that and much more, I think, important than that. And that is, as a child of God, I can enter to the law and get into the law and get into condemnation because of my failure. In other words, I'm going through my day and I mess something up and I fail or do something wrong, etc. And now, instead of accepting the reality of what Christ paid for my sin, I end up accepting condemnation. Now, if I went down, if we were in line at Macy's, all right, and I had a bunch of stuff I was wanting to buy, but I got to the checkout person, I didn't have any money, right? But the person behind me had a lot of money. And they not only paid for my stuff, they gave the clerk three times what I owed for that stuff. Well, I would thank them, obviously. They'd obviously be a friend of mine. They weren't before, they are now. And we'd walk out, and I would not feel as though I owed Macy's anything. All right?
Right.
Now, if we understand the sacrifice that was paid for us, we will understand that it was overpaid. It was paid. Christ's death was so valuable and so complete and so immense that there is nothing that can be paid additionally for what he paid already. And God wants us to live there. Well, that's one side of it. But the other side of it is coming back to God. And sometimes, you know, we feel, you know, we had a pretty good day. We woke up and we prayed for a little while and maybe we read our Bible and we checked those two off. And we did a bunch of things which we would deem to be pretty good. and maybe sometimes exceptional for us, some of us. And so we would go through that day, and we'd feel good about ourselves, not because of what Christ provided for us, not because of the exchange that was made with our life and his life. It would be based upon the fact that, by golly, we actually did all the things that we were told we needed to do to be good Christians, and so now we feel pretty good about ourselves. Yeah. That is as much the law as it would be the law to have fouled up and feel bad about ourselves because of some sin. It's not any better to feel good about yourself because of something you've done than to feel bad about yourself because of something you've done. Because we are to relate to ourselves because we have been given the life of Christ, that we've exchanged our life for his life, and we're not to continue to hold on to the old life. And
let me just catch up with you here and see if I've got that. I said, okay, if we condemn ourselves based on our behavior, it's all based on our behavior, and that's kind of based on the law. If we do what is right, then we congratulate ourselves based on doing what is right, but that's still being subjecting ourselves to the law in that sense, and it makes us a positive legalist versus a negative legalist. And since all of our righteousness are filthy rags to God anyway, we're just operating in the wrong sphere of period. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and what happens is it doesn't really matter how much good stuff you've done. If you're feeling good about yourself because of the good stuff you've done, you're going to end up on the short end anyway, because Satan knows what you're doing, right? And so
yeah.
What he will do, and we see this all the time, we see people who, my goodness, they're doing great. They're just doing good. I mean, they're some of the most spiritual people we absolutely have ever thought about even knowing or seeing. We're so happy to hear about their lives. And then all of a sudden, the next day we wake up and we read about them in the paper, and we just can't imagine that they'd be doing something like that. But quite frankly, when you operate under the law, you may feel pretty good about yourself today, but it's not going to last. And you're going to get caught in the system. And Satan's going to make sure, because what happens with that is all of a sudden you'll foul up, right? And then you'll begin focusing on what you've just done. Now, I mean, you have been going like gangbusters before this, and everybody thinks you're one of the most spiritual people that they've ever thought about even knowing. And so everything's cool. But then something happened, and all of a sudden, it's like, uh-oh, it's a little bit like what the president's facing right now, because everything's been, everybody says, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Now we're getting some, uh-oh. And now I don't know if these people know how to deal with failure, because up to this time, they haven't had to. I was talking to one of my grandson's friends, and they're playing in their end of year baseball tournament beginning Saturday. And he said, well, I'm a little bit scared that we might lose. And I said, well, one thing's for sure, the only way you're going to ever lose is if you play. But if you don't play, you'll never win. And the issue was, yeah, that's life. It's not so much that we have to win all the time. It's how we deal when we fail. As you know, Jack, my favorite preacher right now, and probably for all time, is Joseph Prince. And he had a little sermon he gave about the woman who Jesus touched, who was bent over. And for years, all she could see is the dust. And his point was, many of us do nothing but look at our failures. In other words, we're occupied by dust. And when that happens, we're really in a world of hurt.
Exclusively the kind of people that we deal with all the time, Robert, is people who are broken and wounded, and they are in pain, and they look to their pain, they look to their discouragement, they look to just that kind of, I don't want to feel this bad, what can I do, but look at all that I have done, and look at all that has been done to me.
Well, and they have a bunch of people around them encouraging them to look at all their failures. In fact, some people around them are really afraid they will forget all their failures, so they take upon themselves to remind these people of the failures that they didn't like a whole lot to make sure they don't ever get over their failures. And if you have someone in your life that their failures is impacting you, right? The last thing I think you want to do is to keep reminding them of their failures, unless you just want to see them in their failures all the time, because that's what you're going to see. I know that
in my own situation, in my own life, I have certainly learned more from my failures than I have from my successes. Of course, maybe that's because I've had more of them, but, you know, I certainly have grown from them. I feel like people grow more from their failures than they do from their successes because they have so much respect.
Well, Jack, it depends on whether or not that's their focus. You go through your day focused on failure, you'll keep emulating those failures. God doesn't want us focused on our failures. He wants us focused on Jesus and what Jesus has done for us and what he wants to do for us and what he's willing to do for us. And that, if we do that, then we're looking up instead of looking down, and we have a much better shot at changing our life story.
That makes sense. Absolutely does. The legalism is rampant, but I think that it's so much more so based on people feeling good about what they have accomplished and looking at that as versus feeling bad in what they haven't. We just don't tend to equate that they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I didn't either, but God told me. I was telling God, I think I've done enough for this lifetime. I think I'm ready to go home. Because look at all the stuff I've done. And he said, You've done? Yeah. It's sort of like the coach that was it playoffs?
Playoffs? You talk about playoffs? What's his name from the New Orleans Saints? I see his face, but I can't remember his name. His son was the coach of Atlanta for a while.
Right. So,
well, we've got about 90 seconds left. So, what final thoughts do you have about what we're doing and what's happening? I see that we have so many people in America that are so hurting and that really don't know who they are and they don't understand reality. But at any rate, I'm going to give you the last minute here. You got 1 minute left.
Well, I would really encourage people to get a copy of this book just for the fact that I will guarantee you that when you go through this book, you're going to read things, you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's right. And God, because God will confirm it in your heart, and it will change you. And it's the only way you're going to
all on our website, and that's it for now. But let me just say this: we're going to be going through quite a bit of stuff here in the weeks and months ahead to help people, because this is just such an important thing, and believers have got to stand up. They've got to be, but they can't stand up when they don't know who they are. So to conclude, let me just say thank you, Robert, and thank
okay,
you,
thank
Stacey.
You.
God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.